finding pregnancy support you can trust is worth celebrating. Getting it on sale is worth belting Beyonce in your car. That's right. Ritual's Black Friday sale is on. Support your body's new nutrient needs with their clinically backed prenatal multivitamin. Or give back to your gut with Natal Biotic, a probiotic supplement for trying, pregnancy, and postpartum to support digestive, vaginal, and baby's immune health. At Ritual, quality is top priority. All of their supplements are clean, third-party tested for heavy metals, and 100% made traceable. Because you deserve high-quality support at every stage of your pregnancy journey. Cut prices without cutting corners and get their best savings on their best supplements with 40% off your first month for a limited time at ritual.com/pregnancy support. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
You are listening to the Hirschsprungs Hour on UK Health Radio, where I interview incredible people with a connection to Hirschsprungs disease and other associated conditions, such as IBD, IBS, Crohn's, colitis, and ulcerative colitis. Each week, I bring you a new and exciting interview with people from all walks of life, including charity founders, models, and professional sports people. We go through the ups and downs of having Hirschsprungs with a positive message throughout.
Hello and welcome to episode 97 of Tom's Hirschsprungs podcast. I am delighted to welcome Donna Broughton to the show. Welcome, Donna. We are going to chat about something a little bit different when it comes to Hirschsprungs. So this isn't necessarily one of the sort of, but we're going to chat about a lot about genetics, which I'm, as people who've listened to this show for a while know, that I'm fascinated by genetics, by, you know, how did we all come to have Hirschsprungs? How did we all come to have Hirschsprungs in the family? And we are going to chat a little bit about genetics. So up to you really where you'd like to start from.
Yeah. So yeah, I can just start from kind of the beginning of our genetics story in relation to Hirschsprungs. So really it started before me. My husband and his family, and he already knew that Hirschsprungs was kind of passing down in his family, as his grandfather had it, his eldest brother had it, some cousins had it. His family's kind of hard to figure out sometimes. So we know there's odd people within the family that do have Hirschsprungs, and they all were being born with the same kind of Hirschsprungs, which is like the long stem. Is it long? Yeah,
segment.
It's a long segment. That's the word I was thinking was LS. The long segment type of Hirschsprungs. So, and from way back when, like when his brother was born many, many years ago, it was very different to when my husband's eldest son, who he had with his previous partner, was born. Things had moved on massively, but still it was identified at birth and had to have a pull-through operation at the time of birth and that kind of thing. So it was very much the same for each person in the family, which suggests obviously that it's genetic. And I think, like I've said before, we know it's not for everybody, not genetic for everybody. Some people have no idea what causes it, but it was very obvious within his family that it was genetic. And so we knew that my husband obviously had the gene mutation, but he doesn't have Hirschsprungs, but then his son did. And so it was coming down his father's line as well. We knew that from his grandfather and that kind of thing. So when we were kind of ready to have a child together. It was something that we thought about, and whether it's something that we could, I say avoid, but if we're going to have a child, we wanted to give them the best kind of chance of not having Hirschsprungs if we could help it, because it's very obvious it was passing down. And also, there's a part of us that really wanted to kind of try and stop it being passed down if we could within our family line. And so we went to see a geneticist quite early on, really before we even really said we're ready to have a baby. It was kind of in the back of our mind that actually let's start to investigate this now, so that when we are, it's there. So we started, it was quite a long process really, but we went to see a geneticist, and they said, yeah, it's very obvious it's in your family. We can track this across a family tree. And they said, we don't know really which gene it's in, what's the most thing, kind of had an idea of a common gene that it would be in. But I think with Hirschsprungs, they don't necessarily know where that mutation is necessarily, and it can be different for different people. But they said that they would be willing to have a look for us, because it was so prominent across the family, at testing the family and seeing if it was in that most common gene, which is the Rett gene, and then go from there, really. So they did. They invested a bit of money into that, which was really good, and they took family members and tested their blood, and then they came back to us and said, yep, we've found it. The mutation is in that Rett gene, which then meant that it gave us options then going forward. They were able to give us options. But one of the things that I suppose I'd heard about, something that actually instigated all this. I worked with somebody whose son and daughter-in-law, one of them had a condition that was genetic, and they were going through a process to have a baby that at the time was called PGD. And I should find out what that stands for, actually, because I've forgotten already. So that was pre-implantation genetic testing. So it's kind of like IVF, but they test the embryos for the gene before they put them back in. So I'd heard about somebody having this, and so I started to do a little bit of research online, and that's kind of when I found out that actually for Hirschsprungs, there's no real kind of idea of what gene it's in, and it'd be really difficult to do that. So once they were able to confirm the gene, that became an option for us, and they said to us that there's several ways you can have a baby. You can just go ahead and try and just go for it and decide and not worry about it and hope one way or the other. You can get pregnant and then test, do a blood test, I think it was, they could do from the mother to test if the gene was in the blood, because with me not having the gene, if the baby had it, it would show up, and then you could decide from there what you wanted to do. Or there was, at the time, the PGD. And it's got a different name now, but it's still basically a very similar thing. So we did decide to go down that route and go on a waiting list for that, which was about a year at the time, because they're doing it for lots of other genetic conditions. But what was interesting as well, and what took a lot of the time, is that no one had ever done it before for Hirschsprungs, so it wasn't even licensed at that time. So we had to wait for the license to go through. So we kind of instigated that, getting the license through for that, so that people in future can go ahead and have the same treatment if they want to and if it's genetic. And so, yeah, that was all licensed. And then we were set to go, really. So there was a few places that did it, but the main place, this was on the NHS as well at the time, which was really good. And we were offered the actual PGD treatment through the NHS, because so it's like IVF, but different in that IVF is kind of set locally, and people who perhaps can't conceive naturally get like one round, or what they get set rounds, or depending on the area that they live in, and it's very different. At the time that we had it, and I couldn't say what it's like now without researching it, but the time we had it, it was set across the country by NHS England, and it was quite generous in that you could have three rounds, because the way that they saw it was that actually, by them investing in people having this genetic testing, it would save the NHS in the future a lot of money, because they're not treating people and babies with genetic disorders when they're born. So we were really fortunate. And it was with Guy's, St. Thomas in London. But we live in Sheffield, and their satellite clinic was in Sheffield. So we were able to do a lot of the treatment in Sheffield and travel to London for some of the main treatment. So that's kind of like the gist of how we got there. And then obviously there's the actual treatment side, which I'm happy to talk about what happened there and what it resulted in. That's what you want to know more about.
Absolutely. I mean, that's a fascinating, I mean, that's why I really wanted to chat to you about this, because I talk to people a lot about genetics and about, you know, what's passed down and what is and how this will happen and how that will happen. And I do have people who say to me, like, I want the gene to, you know, stop with me or to stop with my daughter or my son. And as much as, you know, on this show and on other podcasts I've done, I highlight, you know, the sort of positives, I guess, around people who have Hirschsprungs and the careers they have and all of that stuff. Obviously, having Hirschsprungs comes with a whole dose of surgeries, medications. So in essence, you know, would you choose to have it? Well, no. Like, you know, it's so if you can stop it, I mean, I guess, why wouldn't you?
Yeah. And I know, and I think I said, I know for some people it might sit a bit uncomfortably because it is that kind of playing God. And I know some people think that. But for any kind of genetic disorder, I think there's people having this for genes that cause cancer. If you can recognise that and help your future children and generations, then for me it was a no-brainer. I didn't even give it a second thought. I just went into it and thought, if I'm going to have a child, this is how I'll do it. I mean, there was still that, I think it's 99% accurate. There was still that chance. But yeah, I mean, as well, so we did have a daughter successfully through the process. And just to know that she's not going to have to think about that, because we've known for so long, everybody in the family has always known that it's a chance. Every time they're pregnant, it's a chance. There's a chance there that the baby could be born with it. And I know for myself, when I was pregnant, I was that 1% chance, but that's minimal, to know that actually I've done all I can to prevent this. And it just made our pregnancy a lot more enjoyable, because we weren't worrying about, oh, when the baby's born, is it going to have to have surgery, when within like a matter of days of being born, is it going to struggle? I know that my husband went through quite a lot with my stepson when he was born, and having surgeries, and he was in intensive care for a few weeks, and all the things they had to do at home to try and get him back on track. And ultimately, when he was a little bit older, he did end up having a colostomy bag, which he lives perfectly happily with now. He's nearly 21, and they've said, oh, maybe you'll want to reverse it one day, but this is his life now, and he's really happy how he lives compared to when he was younger and he was suffering a lot. And like I said before, I saw him suffer quite a bit when he was little, and the pain that he went through, and him being, as he got older, he ended up in intensive care on occasions. And if you can take that away from your future children and grandchildren, then you do all you can, don't you, to do that? And
of course.
I just think it's one of those things that some people who are listening or who have had children with Hirschsprungs, or who know it's perhaps in their family, or it's something they're investigating, whether it is genetic. I know that one of the things they might be thinking is, if I have another baby, is it going to happen again? Are we going to have multiple children? What's the chances? What's the risks? And I just think raising awareness of, actually, if it is genetic, there is an option, that there is a way you can have another baby without having to have that in your mind all the time.
Yeah, definitely. And I think as well, when I speak to a lot of parents, and they've had always differing answers to questions. So when some parents have said to doctors, you know, there's Hirschsprungs in my family, will my child have Hirschsprungs? Some are told, you know, it's possible. And some are told, no. I mean, I've had people who have Hirschsprungs, and then they have a child or are pregnant with a child. And the doctor said, oh, well, no, it's a really, really small chance. It's not going to happen. Which I wouldn't necessarily, I mean, I'm not a doctor, but I'd say that advice is a little bit worrying, because, you know, as soon as you say something's not going to happen or it is going to happen, people will take that. They'll take that and take that as truth. So I think in this situation, knowledge is power, really, isn't it?
Yeah. And I think as well, it's not necessarily about me raising awareness and saying, look, if you want to have another child or whatever, there's this route you can go down that's, well, essentially it's IVF. Is what, I mean, I can go into the details more if you want, but
sure.
It's more about that people knowing that actually you can go to a geneticist if you think that it's in the family, and push for some kind of testing to find out if, I mean, like I said, in some cases they don't know what gene the mutation's in that causes it. But there is the common gene, which is the RET gene. And it's about, you can go to geneticists and talk to them about that. Because I think a lot of doctors, when you talk about Hirschsprungs, a lot of them don't actually know what it is. Or they know very little about it. I know when I was pregnant and I was talking to doctors about it, and because they were asking why I'd had IVF, and the changes, the way that meant that I had to be treated during my pregnancy and different things like that. And I told them why. They were just like, well, what's Hirschsprungs? So then I had to go into detail about that. And then they were just like, oh, right, well, we'll just make sure there's a baby doctor there when you're born to check the baby to make sure they haven't got Hirschsprungs. I was like, yeah, but we'll know before the doctor knows, probably, because we know what we're looking for. And that doctor's probably never seen a case of it, or it's very rare that they have. So I think a lot of it is doctors might say that. And I know that my husband, when he first went to see a geneticist with his previous partner, they were very much like that. And they didn't know as much then. They were like, oh, the chances of you having a baby are very slim, of having a baby with it,
yeah,
are very slim. What he didn't know is he actually had the genetic mutation, and then his son would get it and he would have Hirschsprungs. But yeah, I think even for people not thinking about having children in the way that we had our daughter, it's just that if they want to know if it's genetic, or there's a kind of an inkling that it is because they're seeing sporadic cases of it within the family, just go into a geneticist and push in to say, look, we know that it can be genetic and it's something that's concerning us, and we want to know.
I think you're absolutely right with that. And I think you're right as well when, and again, this is not a knock at GPs or doctors or whatever, because I know there are hundreds of thousands of conditions and you can't be an expert in all of them. You know, I totally understand that. And I know that in terms of Hirschsprungs, having spoken to doctors and nurses, you do, you know, if you're lucky, you might do one seminar where they might say, oh, and there's this thing called Hirschsprungs. And this is what, you know, are you going to remember that out of 7 years of training? Probably not. So it is a tricky one, because lots of GPs won't know what it is, you know, and will, and I have seen GPs as well when I've been there, and I say, oh, I've got Hirschsprungs. And then you can see them quickly Googling the word Hirschsprungs. and they go, ah, yes, it's blah, blah, blah. It's like, you've just Googled that. You don't know what that is.
And don't know really what, how to deal with it or what implications that has on anything else.
And I saw you typing in the word Hirschsprungs. Don't kid me that you know what it is.
Google had to correct the spelling for you as well at the same time.
Exactly. And mind you, probably nowadays it'd be ChatGPT. I mean, God knows what you'll end up with there. But it will never be a commonly known condition, you know, just because of the rarity that it has. But yeah, it's. And I guess I have spoken to quite a few people who are constantly thinking about genetics and do want to know more, which is why I really wanted to chat to you, because I thought actually the more people are aware of, again, like you said, the options that are out there, because I'm not sure that, I don't know, but I'm not sure that everybody may be aware of all of the options. And if they don't want that particular option, then that's absolutely fine. We're not saying you have to say wish, you have to take that. People do whatever they want. But I think it's one of those things where giving people the choices is the best way to say, right, there's this and this, and you can choose, you know, whichever path you want to go down, rather than saying, this is the only way of doing things.
Exactly. And I think I just know from speaking to people that it's just a concern when they've had a child with it. I know a friend of mine, she was worried then about having another baby because she was like, I'm so on edge to do it again because I just don't know if the baby's going to have it. And I don't know if it's genetic or not genetic. And even though there's no other cases in the family, we don't know everybody in the family. And it's just, yeah, there's a lot to it. But like you say, it's just that it is an option. It is an option to find out. And especially, I know, like I say, a lot will say, oh, well, we don't know which gene causes it, but they said to us there's a common gene, which is where we'll try first, and if it's not in that gene, then we'll have to think about what we do next. But we were very fortunate that they tried the common gene, which is the RET gene, and that mutation was in there, and yeah, so we were able to then move on to the next stage. But also what it did as a separate aside from that, doing that bit before we even moved on to having a baby and all that side of things, was that it meant that because we'd gone to the geneticist and set that ball rolling to find which gene it's in within our family history, so to speak, that then it opened so much more for our family because, like my stepson, he's got a younger brother who hasn't got Hirschsprungs. He can now go and ask to be tested to check whether he's got the genes, so that when he's ready for children, he can make the right decision for him and his partner at the time. I've got nieces and nephews, a brother-in-law who doesn't know if they have the gene or not. They've just not got Hirschsprungs, but like my husband, they could have the gene. They can go to the geneticist that we saw now and say, test me, and they can look in that gene and go, yeah, you've got it all. No, you haven't. And again, it's just like a worry lifted, isn't it, for them as a family to know when I'm ready to have children, it's not something I have to consider. Or, well, I'm armed with, obviously it's up to them, like anybody, whether you get tested for any genetic mutation. But if they want to be armed with that information, they can go and find that out now and decide what they want to do with that information when they're older or the time comes for them to have children or anything like that. So there's that side of it where it's done for the family, and then there's obviously the help that it gave us then to have a child that didn't have the gene.
Yeah, And I love the fact as well that, and you said, you touched on earlier about how you needed to get a license for it. And so that presumably would have meant you're the first people who looked at this. For...
As far as I know, unless somebody was doing it for the same disorder at the same time in parallel, and it just so happened that it got, and I was part of a lot of groups at the time. I had Facebook groups for guys in St. Thomas PGD and other PGD groups, as you do, to find people who were going through the same thing as you and going through the same treatment. And I didn't come across anybody that was going through it, that was having the PGD treatment for Hirschsprung's.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com, RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
So it leads me to believe we're potentially the first couple in the UK to go down that route for Hirschsprung's disease. But I'd love to hear from anyone else that has done the same. It'd be really interesting.
Yeah, I mean, there's always a lot of, there's quite a few sort of Facebook groups. There's sort of the main UK one, and then there's lots that are sort of around the world.
Yeah.
I don't tend to look at them too often because they're just full of information, or they're full of questions that I can't answer, and it's really difficult to kind of sift through things. And you know, so if I get a notification about it, I'll quickly glance at it, but generally I tend to leave them alone because they're just full of questions that I just can't answer. But there is quite a lot of discussion I do see on there about genetics and about, you know, does anybody know this and does anybody know that? And I think it's I mean, of course, some people don't want to know, you know, just in the same way that some people don't want to know whether they're having a boy or a girl.
Yeah.
But I think some people do. And that is absolutely fine. And I think I probably will stress this as well. I may have said it before, but this seems to me as very much an individual thing, like as in, you know, everybody very much free to make, you know, their own choice, without saying you've got to do this or you've got to do that or whatever. In the same way that I speak to people who they have a Hirschsprung's child and they say, we don't want any more children. But then I've spoken to people who've had a Hirschsprung's child and then have gone on to have more children because they want to have more children.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, all of this is very individual. Would you agree?
Definitely. 100%. And like I think I said previously, I know this kind of treatment itself can be quite contentious because essentially you're selecting which embryo goes back into not to the point where, I mean, there's a lot of rules around it, so I'm not saying I specifically said I wanted a girl embryo putting back in. But so in terms of how the treatment worked, once they knew which gene it, which where the genetic mutation is, they were then able to build some kind of test, which meant that when they went through the IVF process of taking the eggs and they're putting together the sperm and creating the embryo, they were then able to take a biopsy from each embryo that they'd created, freeze those embryos so that they were like on ice, so to speak. And then once they'd got the biopsy, they used the test that they built to test each embryo for the genetic mutation. So then they were able to say to us, right, you've got this many that don't have the genetic mutation, this many that do. And I mean, I think that's where it can sometimes be a bit contentious. Anyway, IVF can be, I suppose, in general, because it's a bit then like, oh, so then what? So you've just dismissed a group of embryos that had the genetic mutation. But for me, it was just about, I suppose it depends how you look at IVF in general, because with any IVF treatment, there's a group of embryos, isn't there, potentially, that don't get used.
Yeah.
Depending how many children you want and how successful you are. It took a couple of rounds, but we were quite fortunate to get quite a lot in one of our rounds that didn't have the genetic mutation. And then they were able to put one of those back in, which is our daughter, which we were very fortunate with. And it took the pressure off the pregnancy a bit. I felt like I could enjoy the pregnancy. Okay, the back of my mind, there was a bit like, there's a 1% chance that they didn't find the right gene or whatever. But kind of what did give me a bit of comfort in that is that they did find, in a group of the embryos, they did find the genetic mutation in some of the embryos. So that kind of, to me, said, yeah, the test is working. And also gave me comfort that I had probably done the right thing, because evidently we could quite easily have created a baby that did have the genetic mutation. I've no idea. Nobody really can tell us what the chances are of them then developing Hirschsprungs. But yeah, it did take that pressure off. But when she was born, there was a little bit of me that was waiting for that first poo as well. So
yeah, yeah.
So
I think anybody involved in Hirschsprungs knows exactly what you mean by that, because it's one of those where, and I know we talked a little bit about off air about it, about a relative of yours, and when we talk about, you know, has the baby pooed, and you know, to 99% of parents, they'll, you know, that will just happen, you know, just probably over 99%, that would just happen, and you don't need to think about it. But as parents with Hirschsprungs in the family, you know exactly what that's like.
Yeah, and I think I texted my, because my husband had gone home when I eventually, like when I'd had him, I was like, go home, get some sleep, and I was just in the hospital with her. I remember texting him and being like, she's done the first poo, we're all right.
See, to anybody else, that message would just mean,
yeah,
it would be really, really odd. It just wouldn't, like, you know, they wouldn't quite get it. But Hirschsprung's parents, they understand, you know, they understand just how important that is.
Yeah.
And the past, the meconium and all of this, that, the other. And the other point I know you made a little while ago with the genetic testing is that specific testing for Hirschsprungs is NHS funded, which I thought is fantastic.
Yeah, so it's not specifically for Hirschsprungs, but so the actual genetic side of it and finding the gene, that was NHS funded for us, because we went and spoke to our geneticist on the NHS, got a referral through a GP and said we want to talk to a geneticist about this. We explained the family tree. We explained that we were trying to plan for our future and our future family. And they looked at the family tree and said, well, yeah, it's very evident that it is in your family. So we were very fortunate that at that time they said, yeah, we're going to try and find which gene it's in. And we got like my partner's dad to come in. They took blood from him, my stepson, and then his mum, because she didn't have the gene, so they had that to test. So they took loads of blood and was able to test it all and compare it. And they were able to say then, yeah, we've definitely found which gene it's in. It's consistent in, because his dad didn't have Hirschsprung, but the same as my husband, he obviously had the gene because his eldest son had it, my husband's brother. We were very fortunate that they developed all that on, they did all that on the NHS. But I think in general, if you can talk to a geneticist about testing on the NHS anyway. The PGD side of it, for any genetic, if you were having the IVF with PGD for a genetic reason at the time, that was on the NHS for the three rounds, was just set by NHS England at the time for anybody who had a genetic. I mean, there were, like IVF is, there were certain conditions, like it had to be your first, I think at the time it was your first child together that didn't have the genetic condition. So if you had a child with the genetic condition already together, you could go on to have that to make sure your second child didn't have it, or it was just your first child in general together. I don't know what the rules are now, because so I'm talking about, we first went into this and kind of the genetic exploration in around 2014, and we went through the process of the PGD in like 2018, 2019, and then my daughter was born in 2020. So it's changed a little bit, so I'm not sure on the funding. I think some of it is still called on the NHS, but it's changed name now to PGTN from PGD, which is, it's the same process. They've just called it a different name. So, but definitely I'd say to people who are interested in it, see their GP about that referral to a geneticist and bring that up with the geneticist. And it was the geneticist that then referred us to Guy's and St. Thomas in London and said, there's this couple who would like to go down this PGD route. We've identified where the gene is, blah, blah, blah. And then we then went into that separate waiting list and then building the test. And well, they had to license Hirschsprung's first as something that you could have IVF for, and then building the tests and all that. But yeah, we just started with our GP and got referred to the geneticist, and then asked them to refer us in for PGD. And it was a long journey, and I'm sure it's probably longer now as people have got more and more aware of it. I'd love to know if anyone else has ever had it for Hirschsprung's, but for other conditions, people are becoming more and more aware of it. So I know that it's quite popular, is the right word. Well, they become more aware. Yeah, people are accessing the service a lot more frequently, is probably the right way to say it. But it's just, for me, it's just, it's one of the best things I did, really, because as hard work as IVF is, had my ups and downs, but the outcome is that I've got a daughter who doesn't have Hirschsprung's disease and won't have to worry now about passing that down to any future children she has. So.
Yeah, most definitely. And I think I can't claim to be anywhere near an expert in this. I have very little understanding of how any of this works. Hence why I really wanted to chat to you, because I guess like a lot of people who listen to this podcast, they just want to know more and know, you know, what options are out there and how all of this works. And in terms of time, I know you gave some years there, but in terms of time from sort of start of process to end of process, how long did it all sort of take?
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Yeah, so we first went to see our GP for the referral to the geneticist in 2014. And I think we were kind of, we were a couple of years for sure going through that, kind of seeing the geneticist, trying to figure out the gene, going back to see the geneticist, talking about our options. We were a couple of years doing that. And then we got referred into the PGD waiting list. So we didn't actually start. They then took about a year to license it, build the test, have time to see us, that kind of thing. So we didn't do our first kind of round of the IVF treatment until 2018. Which then didn't work as well as it could have done, but we, at the end of it, we only had one embryo from that round, and then they tested that, and unfortunately, that embryo did have the genetic mutation. So then, in 2019, we went back into another round of it, and we were really successful with that round. We ended up with, they did something different with the drugs than me, and ended up with loads of eggs, which then obviously could create a lot more embryos. And then we were very fortunate that quite a lot of them didn't have the genetic mutation. And then, yeah, so summer of 2019, we went back and had one popped back in, so to speak. And then, yeah, my daughter was born in March in 2020. So all in all, from when we first went to see the geneticist, we're talking like nearly 6 years from the very beginning. But I think we were in that exploration stage where we'd heard that PGD existed, but it had never been used for Hirschsprungs, and everyone we saw was a bit like, oh, we don't know how that had worked with Hirschsprungs because we don't know what gene it's in. Oh, let's have a look and see if we can find what gene it is. And then as soon as they found which gene it was in our family, it was kind of like, yeah, all systems go. These are your options. This is what you can do. I'd hope that if another family wanted to do the same, it would be a smoother journey because we've kind of paved the way for that to happen now. There's no licensing to wait for or anything like that. So it would just be, I guess, the geneticists trying to make sure they know which gene it's in.
I was going to say with that one, it may... There's all in all about 6 years for you, but it might be a little bit quicker because they now have to go through the licensing process. But on the other hand, now that it may be more popular, there may be more people wanting to do it. So it may say, so it might be six or one half dozen. I genuinely don't
know. Yeah, I don't know at the moment. I do know that I spoke earlier about a friend of mine that I know. She had a son who had Hirschsprungs, and she went to see a geneticist about that. And I know that within the year of going to first visit the geneticist, she knew it wasn't genetic. So it feels like if you get the right geneticist who knows about Hirschsprungs, or you get the right referral, it feels like they have a better idea of what to look for to try and decipher whether it's genetic or not. And I think that's probably the key thing. Once you know if it's genetic, and once you can identify the gene, because that's obviously key to building the test and everything else. Without knowing the gene, you just can't test the embryos. But I feel like once you've got through that bit and you've made your decision of the road you want to take, it's kind of two separate things, isn't it? There's the genetic side and finding out if it's genetic and how long that takes, and knowing what gene it's in if it is genetic. And then there's, right, what do we do with that information? And if that is something you want to go down, that's the next route. And how long does getting into that treatment kind of pathway take these days? I'd hope not as long, because, like I say, it's licensed, but then I don't know what the pressure is on the service at the moment, whether there's backlogs from COVID or anything like that. But yeah, I'd certainly, I started thinking about it before I even knew if I wanted a baby, to be honest, because it was just one of those things that I thought, do you know what? I want to be armed with the information. If I one day do decide that we're going to have a baby together, I want to be able to say, right, we know how we want, we know what pathway we want to go down. Or if I never do have a child, well, at least the family now know what the gene situation is, and it helps them for their future families as well. So,
like we said, knowledge is power. But this has been a fascinating conversation. I just want to thank you so much for coming on.
Having me.
Because this is something I don't usually do, but I love doing these sort of, obviously Hirschsprung's related, but Hirschsprung's related slightly different episodes. It gives a little bit of a different take, and I've learned an awful lot today just in the 45 minutes we've been chatting together, and I just want to say thank you so much for coming on, because it's been a real eye-opener.
No, thank you for letting me talk about it. And like, I just want to say I am no expert when it comes to you. There might be a medical professional listening who's like, oh, for God's sake, that's totally inaccurate, the way you've spoken about that is horrendous, what you've called that is awful. But it's just a personal journey that I went down. And I just, like I said to you, it's just about, I'd just love people to know that it's a possibility and that it exists. And it may be of no interest to some people and maybe totally against what they believe in. But for some people, it could be what gives them hope in having another child, or gives them that hope that they can think, actually, I don't have to be afraid of having another baby because I'm worried that another child will have Hirschsprung's, or I've got Hirschsprung's and it's something that's always worried me for my future family or something like that. It's just, I hope it just gives people a bit of peace of mind that actually there are some routes you can take with a bit of knowing the right pathways and a bit of finding the right referrals and the right geneticists. Hopefully it helps some people and gives them some answers.
Absolutely. But like I said, thank you so much for doing this, because it's been a really, really interesting eye-opening episode. But yes, thank you so much, and obviously wish you all the very best for the future.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Hirschsprung's Hour on UK Health Radio. You can find me on Facebook under Tom's Hirschsprung's Podcast, or Instagram on Tom's_Hirschsprung's_podcast. I hope you enjoyed the show, and we'll bring you another episode soon.
At Ability Chiropractic, we believe every child deserves to grow up healthy, strong, and connected to the incredible power within their own body. From infants to adults, our doctors specialize in purposeful chiropractic care that restores balance between the brain and body, helping you and your family live and heal the way you were designed to, naturally. Families across Columbus are choosing to build lifelong wellness from the start. Discover what true health feels like at Ability Chiropractic. Schedule your visit today at abilitychiro.com.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring. Right.